Hi, it's Beth here. Over 65, over talking or still talking, constantly talking. So anyway, I try to take it easy and breathe through my nose, but no, I'm always talking. So there is that. And anyway, this is episode 125, July 21st, 2020. And it's Tuesday. And you know, I thought this one thing would get better, much easier, but it hasn't, not even at all. It's Tuesday, and I should be with my friend David. We've been friends for 27 years, and every Tuesday would be our day, every single Tuesday. David is codependent. He's card-carrying codependent, and so am I. So it started out with, we were having fun, just meeting for lunch, meeting with his friends, having a good time, going to the Shady Grove, just fun. Well, we couldn't stand it. It was too much fun. So it morphed into Meals on Wheels. And we became floaters, which means that we relieve people who can't make it that very week. And we did it that way because we didn't want to get overly attached to people and move in and solve their problems. And we decorate, paint, get new carpeting, and make meals, serve meals, clean up, and do it again the next day. That was what we would have done. So we never really got to know anybody very well, which was why it has worked out for like 15 years. It's 15 years of our, like we were just screwing around for like 12 years, having fun, lunch, happy. And the last 15 or 16 years, it's been Meals on Wheels. So that's great. And we always have a great time. We get together at the church. We pick up our meals. We serve them. And right afterwards, that's when the patient takes a turn for the worst. Somebody has to decide where we're going to go to lunch. We don't ever do anything extravagant, but somebody has to make a decision. Somebody has to pull the cord, and it's excruciating. We both try to casually pick up one of the other's favorite restaurants. You have to wind it up really tightly. You have to try. We always try. I'm batting like 100 in this. This is how you do it. You're just like, it's your turn. I'm like, no, it's your turn. Remember last week we went to, he fills in the blank, and God damn it, it is my turn. So I try to just casually do this while I'm washing my hands or, you know, with the cleaner in the car or whatever, just casually gritting my sunglasses. And I'll say, you know what? I really love, I know this doesn't sound like me, I know this sounds like you, but I really love Indian food now. I've been dreaming about it. And I just want it so badly. And that dish that you get, that's what I'm dreaming about. Why don't we go to that little place you like? Never works. Unless he's really exhausted. So we go round and round, and it's really so dumb. We want to just club each other like baby seals, but we never do. So, and then we always can fill in the little silences with critiquing our work with Meals on Wheels every week. Every week we go, somebody didn't do something right. Somebody didn't smile correctly. Somebody didn't hear what somebody said. Somebody mispronounced somebody else's name. Sometimes, and it's not, we might mix up the meals, but we try so hard because we don't want to get fired. And we're always afraid we will be. So we have all this going on, and I miss it so much. It doesn't sound like much, I know, but I miss it. It's what my Tuesdays were, which were like my week. Like, that was my Saturday. That was the day I understood the whole rest of the week, because every other day could be anything. Anything goes, but not Tuesday. So I'm just here to champion or build up. I think codependence have been misunderstood and maligned for long enough. I'm not kidding. We might be codependent, but there's a lot of passion in that. He has always been there for me. Sometimes he's a better friend to me. Sometimes I'm a better friend to him. We're not keeping score. It's not even. It's not like every single time you go, oh, I was failed. Did I fail you? Like my therapist told me. It's not like that. I mean, the 6 months or the 12 months after Brett died, I mean, I can't really talk about this, but I didn't even know where I was. I don't even remember anything about that time, except if you show me a picture. And he was there for me. I am positive that I was not a good friend. I am positive I wasn't anything, but he was just there. You know, and I was in therapy with my therapist. I mean, I've had many therapists. And this one was like, oh, you're so codependent. And I was like, what's wrong with that? She said, we need to get you to build up boundaries. I'm like, why? Why do I need boundaries? So I'll always need you because I won't have a real friend? That's how I felt. And that's how I feel. Like, if you get the right friend, you don't have to worry about it. Whether you overshare or overtalk, whatever, it just doesn't matter. I mean, we're living through our lives. He's got rough times, I've got rough times. And you know, you don't have to, you can call him even when you think you shouldn't call anybody else or your best friend, you need to build something like this. And boundaries don't make it happen. I'm pretty sure that this is true. I mean, we went through such a rocky time when I couldn't make any sense out of anything, like that terrible time, those 12 months, that we came up with a screenplay. It took my mind off things. You know, I write screenplays. I never sell them. Never. I mean, that would defeat the purpose. So we came up with this Codependent Superheroes, and our theme song was To Dream Your Impossible Dream, To Reach Your Impossible Star, to run where you don't want to go. I'm your hero. It's like, to dream your whatever. You know, every word was not you, it was the other person. To right your unrightable wrongs, to go where, you know, you don't want to go. I'll go. So that's what the song was. That's our theme song. And the story was that we were pretty good action heroes, like much better than we thought we were. We had a lot of talents and a lot of powers. We couldn't even say the word power. Like, I can't even say it. We could not say superpower. We were blessed with things we didn't want. So we'd help people because, you know, we had a signal and we couldn't not listen to it. So we'd put our bodies in front of a bullet and help the victim back up, you know, put the guy in some velvet ropes and tell him to relax, put a little Yanni on his earphones so he'd be comfortable. Then we get back to our patient, our victim, and we tell the victim to build them back up because they were sad. You did it. If you hadn't called me the way you called me, I wouldn't have come. That was an incredible call for help. The best call for help we've ever received. And if you hadn't stepped out of the way exactly like you did, that bullet wouldn't have gone through my chest. You did all the heavy lifting on this buddy. We do it constantly till the cops came. And when the cops came, we had this victim totally pumped up and totally convinced that he did all the work. He got all the credit. He was written up in the paper. This is exactly how we wanted it. We remained sort of anonymous. He couldn't even remember what we looked like because we're always invisible. I mean, we go to restaurants, people, you know, we could go every week and people don't recognize us. It's funny, especially him, and I don't get it. So it's like, so the victim didn't even remember that anybody was there. He just remembered all the great things he did, like how he yelled, and he doesn't remember where he got the velvet ropes, but we do. But we told him where he got them. You, and I don't even know how you had those velvet ropes. How did you know? Laid the whole story on him. So we had a Lex Luthor, very cunning bad guy, got under our skin, looked like both of our mothers. We couldn't even finish a sentence when this woman showed up. So we would try not to answer the bat phone, but we had to, because we'd feel bad if we didn't. And so we actually got in a fight in the script. It was the scariest moment of the story. And the whole deal was, I mean, it was awful. It was awful. We almost came to blows. We almost became violent. I almost slapped him. I slapped him in my mind. And I think he slapped me back, but he would never admit that. And the problem was, it was all my fault that we fought. And he said, no, it was all his fault that we fought. And then it was like, no, you're perfect. You could never do that. No, you're perfect. You could never do that. And that's how it went. So, and you know, we made up. So that was, you know, a rom-com of sorts. So, and really, To Dream Your Impossible Dream was a great theme song. So we must have talked about that for 4 months because I needed to. I'm sure he got bored out of his mind. And I never wrote it. It was like, never did a thing. It was just, he just talked to me for 4 whole months about what I needed to talk about, which was fiction. So that's what a codependent friend will do for you. So thank God for David. Because when you really fall apart and you become a broken record, which I became, I mean, I was even more broken than that broken record, you know. And there were other times too, but this was like his finest hour. So his Oscar-winning performance was every Tuesday for that year. Oh my God, I can't even talk about it. So anyway, you got to develop a friendship like this. You've got to. Where you can call when everything inside you is saying, don't call that person, don't bother your friend. You're being unfair. Don't make him unhappy. Maybe he is happy. But to David's credit, he's really never completely happy, so I didn't have to go there. But you get my point. You got to have somebody you can go to. Somebody somebody would come to you. That's why you can keep coming back, because you know it's kind of fair. And you do the very same thing. But only codependents can do this really well. So that's why we never keep score, nothing like that. And I'm sure if I was to keep score that he's way ahead of me and he's been more kind to me. But you know what? He's such a great codependent, he would never even look at it that way. I'm sure he's a much more refined codependent. But I'm getting better. And I'm his friend. And I always try to be there for him. So I didn't even know I could ever need anybody like this. I mean, you don't know till all hell breaks loose. And Kit's a great husband and everything. And we've been there for each other too. But having a friend that you can just be so flat with forever, it's a real friend. And you maybe just need one. Somebody like that, a really true friend. You know, a whole group of them isn't the same thing. It's not like you can parcel this stuff out, because you can't. So, you know, I'm glad I zeroed in on this guy. And I'm just saying, try codependence. I really think therapists have gotten this very wrong. Some codependents are really lovely people. I don't even know how it got this terrible rap. And they need a lot of love. So you can actually lay it on, you can pour it on thick. They will understand. Overkill, oversharing, overdo it. You'll be fine in this world if you find yourself the right codependent. You'll know right away. I mean, they're gonna get it or they're not gonna get it. It's gonna come back or it's not gonna come back. Codependents belong together. I really think it's a wonderful thing to be. It's a wonderful thing to find. You're gonna need it. Something's gonna happen. And you just don't wanna worry. So anyway, and the other thing is, David and I actually got married. We were at an Airstream convention. He has an Airstream. And we were so popular that we got written up in the newsletter and they put our name down together as a married couple. I mean, why make them unhappy? Why? I mean, everybody loved the idea. So there's our picture and it's in the newsletter. And, you know, thank God I have a very understanding husband. Thank you, Kit. Thank you, David. Thank you for everything that's kept me going. And I really, really want you to think about it. Just find yourself a nice, cuddly codependent. And that's all I just want you to think about it. Just think about it, okay? And I'll be back. Just, you know, especially going through the pandemic, this would be a great time to look for a codependent. A great time. They're not busy. Nobody's busy. It's a perfect time to look for your own codependent. Find one in the wild. You know, get a butterfly net and catch them. They'll appreciate it. They want to be wanted. That is the thing about them. So, and it's not going to go wrong. It's, if you're both codependent, you can't suck the marrow out of anybody's bones because you can't do it because you're codependent, because you're too nice, because you know how they feel. It's a perfect relationship, especially now. So anyway, you know, if you drop a book, like, okay, let's say you do go out, you got your mask on, right? You bump into a wall, you drop your book. If somebody picks up your book, that's your man. That's your girl. That person who goes, let me get it right away. Here, are you fine? Can I help you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you go, no, I'm fine. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much. You're so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. That's the beginning of a beautiful relationship. So just keep your eyes open and just take care of yourself. Stay sane. And I will be back. Thanks. Bye-bye.